Shalom, shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide, and God bless you. Welcome to another episode of Rapture Watch, where we watch for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and it is only done on Bright TV, the timely technology as given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. I am Brother Gabriel Guna Ermosele Onyejaka. Welcome to Rapture Watch. Well, watching with us today will not just be me, and taking a very interesting topic this episode, watching with us will be our beloved overseer, Pastor Moses Alu, who we know as a Bible teacher. God bless you, Daddy.
Shalom, Brother Gabriel, and shalom to the Bright TV, a crew that's making it possible.
That's right.
To put all this together for the Bride of Christ worldwide. And I must not forget the Bright TV sponsors whose financial contribution is making us stay online. We don't own this, we pay for it.
That's true, sir.
And your contribution is keeping us going. May the Lord bless you accordingly.
Amen.
Yes. Once every now and then we come together to heed the admonishment of the Lord to watch and pray. There are things we should watch for His soon coming. And that's exactly what we are doing, believing that He will soon come as He has promised to take us home in what we call the rapture of the Bride of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. And we are watching. And we're helping, using this program to help to watch accordingly and prepare for His soon coming. And the Lord will bless every one of us and give us reason through some of the things we shall see or talk here that will help us to take our eternal destination more seriously. For that is the purpose of this program. Welcome to another episode. Shalom.
Shalom, and thank you so much, sir. Thank you for always turning yourself available when we have issues like this. Today we'll be taking a very interesting topic. It is titled The Countdown. And our scripture reading for today will be 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 14 and 15. It says, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." That when I read this scripture, something comes to my mind. Does nature teach? Or let me rephrase the question. How does nature teach the scriptures or the gospel?
Yes, nature preaches the gospel. Sure. Okay. And I also want to, before I say that, let the people know the reason the topic for today is the countdown. Countdown is a sermon topic preached by William Branham, and you can go to the website of the Voice of God recording, and there you will get the full message William Branham preached. A countdown there is a way of looking at step by step God's agenda. From this step to this step to this step, and finally we go. That is a countdown. And it's another word for rapture watch. It's another word for rapture watch.
Very true, sir.
And the best way to understand this countdown is to look at nature. Yes, a lot of people, let me not say a lot, some theologians don't believe in types and shadows. But the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is explained in such a way that you don't have to go to school to be able to understand it.
Okay.
You know, things around you make spiritual things clearer.
Things around you.
Things around you.
Hallelujah.
Natural things help us understand some spiritual things. Especially when it comes to salvation. Now, you can see that Apostle Paul was going to use nature to teach Christian spiritual thing about head covering during public worship for women.
Okay.
So he used nature, the natural appearance, to teach you spiritual things. Yes, your question is, does nature preach the gospel?
Yes.
I say yes. You can see that in the Bible from Matthew 24.
Okay, Matthew 24.
Maybe if you read it from verse 23.
From verse 23.
Up to verse 27, so that the picture can be clearer.
Matthew 24 from verse 23. It says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before. Verse 26, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not.
Now,
verse 27.
Now, verse 27.
Yes, sir.
Is now going to use nature to explain the coming of our Lord. What does he say?
For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
You see, as he's using the rising of the sun,
yes, sir,
from the east, and how it sets
in the west, yes, sir,
to explain how Christ will come. And in the next verse, he added something.
For wheresoever the carcass is,
he's using another natural thing again.
There will the eagles be gathered together.
You see what he's using to explain,
hallelujah,
you know, the Christian faith,
yes, sir,
the gathering of the people. And if you another one,
yes,
is
sir,
the Bethpains. The Bethpains, you can see in chapter 12 of Revelation chapter 12.
Revelations chapter 12.
That woman, that prophetic woman there.
Okay. From
us. Yes. Even naturally, you have woman. And the characteristic of a woman is depicted in the church.
Okay, sir. No, just to so that we can all follow you. You've mentioned one, the sun, as a natural thing that explains
woman now.
The next one now is woman.
Woman.
Okay.
A woman, you know, is depicting a church. All the characteristics of a woman, you know, is it gives you a picture of how the church is.
Can we cite any example in scripture?
Now, Revelation chapter 12, for instance.
Okay, Revelation 12.
And
okay, from verse 1.
Yes.
He said, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered.
Now, but it's using the birth pains of a woman.
That's right.
To describe the fulfillment of prophecy of the birth of their Messiah. You see, their freedom. So that you'll understand. In Isaiah 66 also.
Yes, sir.
In Isaiah 66.
Yes, sir.
And verse 8.
Verse 8.
Yes.
Who had heard such a thing?
Yes.
Who has seen such a thing?
Yes.
Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once?
What language is he using? Yeah, go ahead.
For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her child, her children.
So you see, the birth pains.
So birth pain is the third one.
You know, and he said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground.
Abided alone.
He abided alone. What's he talking about? One corner of wheat is that Lord Jesus Christ planted. And now see many more sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Christ is only begotten son, but now is the firstborn among many brethren. It had to go through dying
as a seed.
Okay. Then we have grafting.
Grafting. Okay.
Yes.
So we have the,
you know, it's a botany. It's in botany.
Okay, sir.
You know, one tree can produce many fruits, different fruits.
True.
By grafting process, to let you know the mixed multitude in the body of Christ. You know, it explains that. And if you look at the growing seed parable also, in Mark chapter 4 from verse 26, you see that the seed, the growth, it dies and begin to grow until harvest time. Is talking about the church of Jesus Christ. So it's teaching us nature. Marriage also.
Marriage?
You can see marriage. The process of marriage.
Yes, sir.
What we call wedding.
Wedding.
You see that there's a courtship. Then there is the exchange of vows on the wedding day. And bride price is paid. And all that is speaking about the marriage of
the church.
And Christ.
Hallelujah.
I must not forget to mention the birth of a child. You know, the birth of a child.
All this talks about the gospel.
All this is, I'm telling you about the gospel.
Wow.
The birth of a child, what is the first thing that comes out?
Water.
It's water, then blood. Then the life comes in, which is the birth of the church of Jesus Christ was what was demonstrated on the cross.
The spear on his side.
The pierce his side, blood and water. He didn't know that he was giving birth to his church by so doing.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, and many more of such things that speak of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yes, nature can teach us.
Nature can actually teach
us. Yes, when you die, you are buried.
Wow.
You're supposed to be dead in Christ. And when you are dead, you must be buried, which is what water baptism is all about.
So even death is part
of it. Yes, it's part of it.
Hallelujah. Okay, so let me list out what you have said that teaches us the gospel. And I'm sure somebody is already taking notes because we're already learning. The son, the woman, representing the church as a woman, birth pain, the growing seed, grafting, marriage,
and many more, just to prove to you that nature truly teaches us.
Okay,
many more I can say here, but just to answer your question, does nature preach the gospel? Yes, so be sensitive to see God talking to us through nature.
All right, sir, thank you so much for that. The very important reason why we brought you to really answer or talk about this topic, the countdown, was as a result of a statement you made when you preached a sermon some time ago. You took a sermon on the gospel according to science.
And watch history. Gospel according to science. What is happening in the scientific world when it comes to mobility, man being able to move from one place to another. Man is not just able now to move from one town to another town. They are able to move faster. And not just on earth, he broke through the gravitational laws of the earth and broke through to have aeroplanes. And all this, he was only speaking of what God was also doing spiritually. Gospel according to science.
We looked at that sermon, and we started wondering, does science also teach the gospel? If science does that, how does science actually teach the gospel? So that's why this is my question for now. How does science teach the gospel?
Science teaches the gospel. Science also teaches the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Let me use one for instance. I mean, the immediate one we all know.
Okay.
God is omnipresent.
Very true, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
He's everywhere at the same time.
Very true.
He knows what is happening anywhere.
True.
So he doesn't stress himself to know what is happening. Now, what is internet?
World Wide Web
connected, and you can see anything you want to see around the world, even in real time. It's speaking about the omniscience of God, omniscient of God. From everywhere, he can see. He's somewhere and see you sitting down here now in Bright TV Studios.
That's very true.
Just as you can be here now and watch in real time Chelsea and what's your club?
Man U.
Is there, and he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Once you gather, he sees all of us. So is the technology, scientific technology of the internet. We are preaching now and live now, and the whole world is watching us live as we are talking. If you're interested in, you know, in watching us. Yes, that is science. But more importantly,
yes,
we want to relate it to the rapture watch.
The coming of the Lord.
The soon coming of the Lord. And I will use one technology. That is a technology that William Branham also used. About the automobiles. It's man's attempt, you know, to move from one place to the other. We are pilgrims and strangers on earth here. The Bible says so.
Yes, sir.
If we are pilgrims and strangers on earth, then we are in a journey.
Very true, sir.
From one place to the other. We're in a pilgrim journey from earth to glory, to be with the Lord. And where is the Lord? Where is he located? He went up. In the book of Acts chapter 1, they stood, they saw him ascended up.
Yes, sir.
Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 say, he that descended is also the same that ascended. So hallelujah. Everybody, that's the reason everybody say our heaven is up. So we are, one day we will leave this earth, which is called a rapture, and we will be with him. That is what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And even before then,
okay,
you know, in my father's house are many mansions.
Okay, John chapter 14.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Read that one first.
Okay, let me read that of John.
My father's house.
14. It says from verse 3.
Yes.
Or verse 2. Or let me start from verse 1.
From verse 1.
Believe. He said, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes, that's the assurance.
You believe in
we
God.
Have. Yes.
Believe also in me.
Yes.
In my father's house are many mansions.
Yes.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
He's going to prepare a place for you.
Verse 3.
Go ahead, go ahead.
And if I go and prepare a place for you,
yes,
I will come again and receive you unto myself.
Uh-huh.
That where I am, there ye may be also.
So there ye may be, and we know he went to prepare that place on the cross.
Amen.
And after he left there, he went to be where he is. He's expecting us to be with him. And we saw him going. Let's, for the purpose of this teaching.
Yes,
Acts chapter 1 from verse 9 and, to verse 11.
Acts chapter 1 verse 9.
Yes.
Verse 9 to 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly up,
where
steadfastly
were they looking?
Towards heaven, as he went up,
mm-hmm,
behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
That is the assurance. He saw him going.
Yes, sir.
And so, Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and verse 18.
1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud.
Where?
To meet the Lord in the air.
In the air.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Therefore,
wherefore, comfort one another with this word.
Thank you. So this is the assurance. I'm not trying to prove that we are on a journey. The song that I said, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Hallelujah.
If heaven is not my home, then, oh Lord, what shall I do? You know, that is where we are all hoping to. The Bible calls us the first fruits, the fruits there of harvest of his people from the earth to the barn up in heaven. And that is what we are all working towards to achieve. You need to catch this so that you're not just a religious person. It's very, very important, you know. So now God himself, by revelation, lets us see the scientific invention of automobile. To see that it's also speaking of the spiritual journey, activities of the Lord that will culminate into homegoing.
Hallelujah.
In the move of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I think sometimes in 1886, a German man invented cars. But before we come to that, please, alert viewers, listen very carefully, because some of these revelations are very deep.
That's right.
You know, I get excited when I come across them. And listen very well. There are many of us that don't see any revelation beyond, especially followers of William Branham. You know, we can, it can always, you know, be clearer and clearer and clearer.
The light shining brighter.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
There is a way some of us presented it before, that we are trimming our lamps of revelation. Hallelujah. The trimming continues.
Yes, sir. That's true.
You know, the trimming continues.
Hallelujah.
And in looking at that topic again, I caught something.
Ooh.
You know, that the first mode of transportation, man's effort, you know, to move from one place to the other, making it easier, was when they were using carts, you know, and the horses. Okay. It used to be only the horse, you know, within the same period, they develop something else that can be more comfortable if you sit on and put the horse to drag you along, you know. But it was dragging. It's still not that comfortable. It's still not that fast. It's not that comfortable. And I liken this to a period of the church, you know, we are referred to as the Dark Ages.
Okay.
And if you are following my, if you follow my teaching before, I didn't say it was Dark Ages.
Exactly.
But I expected a reaction from you.
So this one is very, very serious. And
so that's why I say, be careful, listen.
Okay.
Because I did not, in my teaching before,
you didn't mention
I didn't say the cat was Dark Ages. You didn't. Said the cat was Luther.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I expected you to have noted that.
I'm taking note.
And ask me immediately. Say, no, Pastor, stop. You said, why are you saying Dark Ages?
Yeah, because sir, this is...
Listen, before you argue with me.
Okay.
Just listen first. When I finish, you know, you may not ask again. I call it the Dark Ages because we are talking about the movement from earth to glory.
Okay.
And one of the things that will qualify you to be in the rapture is that you will be perfected.
Hallelujah.
And you talk about perfection in the process, the church, going back to church history.
Yes, sir.
You will observe that the church was perfect when it was inaugurated.
That's right.
But something happened to fulfill the law of the growing seed. It must die. The church died in the 4th century. And from the 4th century up to the 15th century, the period known as the Dark Ages, almost 1,000 years period.
True, sir.
So within that period, there was no form of scientific progress, scientific development in the whole world.
Very true, sir.
No progress.
No progress.
Scientific progress, nothing like that. Just as the whole world was in a dark period, just hear war here, war here, oppression here. The battles that we are fighting, we are with a sword. Yes, yes, the firearms were not invented as are them.
Yes,
sir. And no scientific inventions whatsoever. Within that period, you know.
Yes, sir.
So that's the period that movement up and down from one place to the other was by horses and carts.
Very perfect.
Do you understand now?
True, sir.
And it's not a comfortable period.
Mm.
It was not a comfortable period. So that is the Dark Ages.
So the cart and the horses was for the Dark Ages.
Yes. But okay. but that was for the Dark Ages.
Dark Ages, okay.
Now, but I also want to you to note something.
Yes, sir.
That although the seed that was planted at Pentecost died at Nicaea in the 4th century in AD 325, the Nicaea marriage that fulfilled totally, eventually, the parable in Matthew 13 verse 33, we all know that for the purpose of time, right, just make reference to some of them. And before you, you know what, the seed, God allowed it to fulfill a law, we've been explaining and explaining through this channel several times in our Bible study sessions, that it died at Nicaea. God allowed it to fulfill the law of life. But that seed that you plant on the ground, although it dies, it rots, there is still a life there.
Hallelujah.
It's not totally dead. And that is why you see in Revelation, that thought, that, now I'm going to Revelation now. Exactly. I'm going to speak language of Revelation now.
Exactly, sir.
That period, the Dark Ages, is what we see in the third seal in Revelation chapter 6.
Revelation chapter 6?
Yes.
From verse 5?
Verse 5 and 6.
And when he had opened the third seal,
that the third seal now,
I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand.
You see?
And I heard a voice in the midst of the fourth beast say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hot not the oil and the wine.
Because it is under this black horse, which is the Dark Ages,
yes, sir,
that a revival is going to spring forth.
Is that why the oil and the wine is?
That is where you see the oil and the wine.
Okay.
And remember that it is in this third seal that the rapture will take place.
Yes, sir.
I repeat, contrary to what we have been teaching all along, and I've tried to line up this revelation.
Yes, sir.
You know, that this third seal is a rapture seal.
Yes, sir.
And if it is a rapture seal, then all activities that we're going to see in the countdown, all are embedded in this particular third seal.
Wow.
That is why I say hot not
the oil and the wine.
Yes, sir. That is a revival. But like I said, the Dark Ages, like a seed, is planted, no matter how rotten that seed is, there's still a life there.
Hallelujah.
That is going to spring up.
Amen.
Later.
Amen.
So that you understand now in Revelation chapter 3.
Okay, Revelation
3. Yes, remember.
Yes, sir.
Remember again that this third seal of Revelation chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
This third seal covers 3 church ages.
It covers 3 church ages.
It covers 3 church ages.
Okay, sir.
It covers the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th church age.
Sardis,
Philadelphia, and Laodicea church ages.
Yes, sir.
Now, see the beginning here. See, in Revelation chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Verse 1 to 4. Read it.
And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, this thing said he that had the 7 spirits of God.
Yes.
And the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead.
Remember, I said that the Dark Ages is when it died.
Yes, sir.
See what it's referring to now.
He said thou hast a name.
Yes.
That thou livest and art dead.
Are dead? Go on.
He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remaineth
that
are ready to die.
For I have because not... it is a period for the seed to die.
Mm. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and had, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee.
Now the verse 4 now is my emphasis.
Thou hast a few names even in Sardis. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis.
Sardisian church age.
Which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
So you see, now although the dark ages produced death,
yes, sir.
But there were few names that you will see that will begin to spring up in the Sardisian church age.
Yes, sir.
And why? That was the period for the cart and the horses in the development, invention of mobility. And remember that the mobility of man, that man created, automobile, started with cart and horse,
yes, sir.
And they ended with the astronaut.
True.
It's speaking of the gospel.
Okay, sir. Let's take it easy now.
Yes.
Formerly, pastors teaching, the year he preached this particular sermon, he said the cart and the horses are fulfilled in the days of Luther. But now, our light is shining brighter and brighter.
It's dark ages.
This is for the dark ages.
Yes.
Fire also.
Thank you very much. Then, suddenly, in 1886, and I want you to note, in 1886, it was a German that invented automobile. I know you know where I'm going.
Yes, sir, I know where you're going to, sir.
And when God was to pull out of the dark ages, who did he use?
Martin Luther, a German.
A German.
Woo!
Now, that is the gospel according to science.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's no coincidence.
At all, sir.
I want you to take note of that.
Okay.
Now, the cars, the automobile, was now speaking of the reformers, the age of the reformers. That started with Luther, then went to Wesley, and then John with Calvin, all John Calvins Knox. And all of them, John Knox, and all of them, including William Seymour. They were all reforming, bringing back all that was lost.
Let's follow your line, sir. The automobile, yes. That is cars, covers these people you just mentioned.
Exactly.
From Luther to...
So that you will now understand...
William Seymour.
So that you will now understand Revelation chapter 3.
Revelation 3.
7. That is now, we are now moving now to the to the Philadelphia church.
Yes,
and hear what he said.
He says, and unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing said he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the keys of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door.
An open door from the dark ages.
Man.
A door was open.
What and on? No man can shut it.
No man can shut it because it says, hot not the oil and the wine.
It says, for thou.
That revival that comes from that open door, nothing will shut it until we go home.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
It says, for thou hast a little strength and has kept my word and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. And are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee.
Now let me put this in better perspective.
Okay,
so this period that these cars and automobiles are invented. You know, now it, like I said, you know, it's not just car. That was the beginning. You know, that was the beginning, of how it was. Going to take place. Now, the first one, the fifth church age.
Yes, sir.
The fifth church age is where you see Revelation 3, verse 1 to 4, we quoted earlier.
Yes, sir.
And that is where Martin Luther started with him.
Exactly.
And that is the cars.
The cars, yes. Fifth church age.
Now, the sixth church age is where we just read now in Revelation chapter 3, because He's saying that I have set before you an open door. So he is not going to open it in that age. Mm. That's Wesleyan age. Mm. It had been open in Luther age. Mm. So it's already open.
Hallelujah.
So he said, I have set before you an open door. So fly on, go ahead. Mm. And that is where we now move to holiness, without which no man can see God.
Hallelujah.
The doctrine of sanctification. Mm. Now they are now getting closer to God.
Mm.
Now, you were justified. Mm. You were pulled out of the dark ages. But you are still not yet close to God because you need to be holy.
Mm.
So, and where is God?
Up.
Up. So you need to go a little bit higher, nearer Him.
True, sir.
That is when in 1903, the Wright brothers invented the aircraft.
Oh, hallelujah. So
that now lifts you
away from the ground,
closer to God.
It seems as if it becomes better and better.
That is how it's supposed to be.
Okay.
It's the same spirit. It's just more power,
more
anointing, more revelation, more grace. Brings you closer and closer. We're now moving from car to aeroplane. Then it takes us to the
sixth church age.
We are finished with the sixth church age.
Okay, then you are moving now.
We are now moving to the seventh church age, known as Laodicea.
Okay, sir.
And I want you to note something here. In the seventh church age, in the Laodicean church age, see Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21.
To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Eh?
To him that overcometh,
yes,
will I grant to sit with me in my throne,
uh-huh,
even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne.
Does that sound something to you?
Mm.
It is overcome. In that age,
sit.
You will sit with me. And where is he?
Up.
It is in this age you will land with him in his throne.
Woo! Amen. But a plane cannot take you there.
An aeroplane cannot take you there.
Mm.
Wesleyan age could not take you there. So there needed the supernatural, the gifts that will lift you, you know, but closer to space. And before you know what, in 1961, which is a type of God brought back the gifts, the supernatural began to take place, the gifts. In 1906, that's when the gifts began. But when these gifts began, it is speaking of something was going on spiritually. There are two moves that happen in Laodicea church age, spiritually speaking.
Sir, we'll cut you here.
Yes.
We'll go on a short break. When we come back, we want to find out the two things that happened in Laodicea church age. We'll be right back. The seat is getting hot. We'll be right back.